You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, make sure you celebrate Paulie. Unlike Paulie celebrating Paulie's birthday, go to danpatrick.com. Two t-shirts, $49. And check out the limited edition tailgate package that we have there as well. That includes a flask and a handwritten note from me. All at danpatrick.com. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle is @DP Show. Poll question for the final hour, McLovin, is?
We're going to go with whose career would you want? Devin Hester or Joe Flacco? One thing about this Joe Flacco thing, would you take Joe Flacco because he's a quarterback over like Jonathan Ogden even? Because you don't want to be a lineman. You want to have the ball in your hand, which Hester did too.
Yeah. One guy is exciting, returning kicks. The other guy is a boring quarterback who won a Super Bowl. I would opt for being Joe Flacco. You won a Super Bowl and you were the MVP in one of the great Super Bowls that we've had in recent memory. A whole lot going on in that Super Bowl. Yeah, McLovin.
I don't totally understand why Joe Flacco all of a sudden wasn't a good quarterback. Like, he was a good quarterback for years in Baltimore. He's the backup in Philly now, and they had to bring in another backup in Gardner Minshew. Like, how does that happen?
I think he was in the right place at the right time when he was in Baltimore, but he had a really good defense there. You're not asked to do a whole lot. I just don't know if you can say to Joe Flacco, win games for us. He's 36 years of age, but he was one of those where you go, oh, that's right. He was the quarterback then. You know, it's not where you go, yeah, then they had Joe Flacco as well. But you have that defense there. That certainly helped. A great organization certainly helped. Always great with draft picks. There's a game coming up tonight, by the way. This is the standalone game where everybody's going to have an opinion on Carolina tomorrow. This is where people will get reintroduced to Sam Darnold. This is where you're going to see if Carolina's got a really good defense or not. Matt Rhule is the head coach. There'll be verbal bouquets tossed in his direction. We'll talk about the Texans. Deshaun Watson's role or lack thereof. What's the future for that team? It's a standalone game, and that means everybody is going to have an opinion. And everybody loves a redemption story. You know, with Sam Darnold, you know, maybe you have something that's Kurt Warner-like where you go, oh, that's right, he had the great comeback and disappeared after the Jets, and he went to Carolina. Carolina had a chance to, you know, draft Mac Jones or Justin Fields. They took a defensive back instead. But a report came out yesterday. Darnold wasn't exactly the Panthers' first choice. The Charlotte Observer had a deep dive on Carolina going after Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford before settling on Darnold. And maybe there's a chance that it works out well. Good defense. He's got a 100 passer rating in his first two games. You got Christian McCaffrey. You avoid mistakes. And maybe Sam Darnold sort of reclaims that perch that he should have had in the first place with the Jets. And that is, he was a very good quarterback coming out. He was considered the safe quarterback coming out in that draft. But we can see how quickly it goes south. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DP Show. We'll get to more phone calls coming up. Also, the Ryder Cup gets underway tomorrow on the shores of Lake Michigan. And that's in Whistling Straits, just outside of Sheboygan. Wonderful, wonderful place to go play. But I will say, if you go there, just be ready to learn how to play the wind. And this is where you go, oh, the European team's going to have the advantage. There are stats now, advanced stats, that are looking at all the individual players for both teams, that the Americans play better in wind than the European players do, which surprised me, because you would think that would be an advantage playing in those conditions. But we'll check in with Brandel Chambly from the Golf Channel. That'll be coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Sunday night, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, San Francisco. You can see it. Starts at 7 Eastern with Football Night in America on NBC and Peacock. I mentioned last hour that the information came out that the Niners did make a run at Aaron Rodgers and that Carolina did make a run at Deshaun Watson. And then Matthew Stafford. I think they thought they had Matthew Stafford. And then, as it turns out, Matthew Stafford didn't want to go to Carolina, wanted to go to Los Angeles. And that's how he ended up with the Rams. Let's see. Some phone calls coming up. Oh, here's another thing with what's going on with Doc Rivers, the 76ers. I heard this yesterday from Tony Kornheiser, and it makes a lot of sense. I still think Golden State is the right place for Ben Simmons. If I'm Golden State and I can trade Draymond Green and maybe Jonathan Kuminga or James Wiseman or somebody to the 76ers, and then you could get Ben Simmons, I think it would be an ideal swap because I get a younger Draymond Green. I don't ask him to shoot, be a playmaker, a rebounder, play defense, and then let the guys who are paid to shoot, shoot. Tony Kornheiser yesterday, and pardon the interruption, said, perfect place, straight up swap. Ben Simmons, Bradley Beal. He can go to a young Washington team, doesn't have to score. He can be a facilitator. He does everything that Bradley Beal doesn't do. And Bradley Beal does the one thing that Ben Simmons doesn't do, and that is shoot, score. And if you put Bradley Beal on the 76ers, that certainly improves them greatly. But I don't know if, I mean, Bradley Beal, that name has been kind of lingering in trade talks, even though Bradley Beal has said that he's not going anywhere. I thought maybe Golden State was going to happen, but this might be one of those just to keep an eye on. And Mr. Tony mentioned that yesterday on Pardon the Interruption. Let's see. Ben in Minnesota joining us on the program. Good morning, Ben. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. 6-1-2-30.
All right.
Dan, I was thinking you might want to put an asterisk by that Perez home run record for being a catcher. I know I've seen some Royals games, and I know for a fact that he's played in more than 10 of them games. I don't know the exact number. He was designated hitter.
Hmm, okay.
And I know that when Bench was playing, that he played the field all of his home runs when he was playing. So that's something I just thought I'd throw, make you feel better about the Bench record. So.
Oh, no. You know what? You know, Perez can break Johnny Bench's single-season home run record for catchers. I'm fine with that. It's okay. I mean, I am. It's sort of okay with that. But Bench, I think, played catcher that entire season when he had 45 home runs. I don't know if Perez has played other positions or hit home run. I don't know how that works. Yeah, Paulie.
Perez has played 119 games at catcher this season and 35 as a designated hitter.
Okay. And Johnny Bench, can we find out how many games he played catcher?
38 homers as a catcher at 45 that season. He played first base sometimes.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, Johnny, I think, has more as a catcher when he was playing catcher that day.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to get too caught up on it. I mean, congratulations and, you know, whatever. Hope your launch angle's good.
For that era, the 45 homers in that year when people didn't hit 45 homers.
And I think he had 140 RBIs that year.
48.
148, yeah. Yeah, Paul.
We all have certain athletes where we don't hear any argument against them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain athletes of your lifetime that you back you blindly, and there's a reason. I mean, Johnny Bench, you don't really have to dig deep to back him up.
Yeah, I'm okay. Todd just sent me an email. It's somebody's birthday today. This person is 72 years of age. Todd does not like this person that he sent me an email.
I'm sure he's a good guy. I just think he's extremely overrated.
And Philip Rivers is not 72.
Oh.
No, it's not Philip Rivers.
It's funny, that's who I thought of,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
Is it a Beatle? No, they're a little older.
No, you don't like the Beatles.
I like the Beatles now.
No.
Too late.
No, way too late. Way too late.
Todd's with me on that terrible bandwagon.
Really,
yes, Paul.
Bob Dylan?
No.
He's 80.
Good guess, though. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, man.
Todd, it's hard because Todd, it's not like there's a lot of people Todd doesn't like.
I know. He does an impersonation of him, right?
Yes, go ahead, do the
impersonation. Straight out of Long Branch, New Jersey?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, it's my birthday. Bring it home now. Come on, bring me some gifts now. Bring it home.
That build-up paid off.
Yeah,
right?
I think
okay.
so.
All right, thank you.
Good bit.
Yeah. Bruce Springsteen, happy birthday to Bruce.
72, God bless him.
If I get Bruce Springsteen on the show, will you imitate Bruce to Bruce on the show?
Absolutely. I have no shame. You maybe do Shannon Sharp and several others to their face over the years, so why not?
Shannon Sharp and Bruce Springsteen are completely different.
Yeah, but the Shannon Sharp one, that's just almost mean. I'm totally like making fun of his voice. With Bruce Springsteen, I'm just going, all right, come on now. But I'm going to do Shannon Sharp, though. I think the Broncos are going to win the playoffs with you. There's nothing positive about that. Talking like I have marbles in my mouth. It's kind of, and I love Shannon Sharpe and the Broncos, but that's not the positive.
I love that Todd hasn't spoken for about 2 hours, and now he's
on, just comes
he's on fire. Ooh, I'm on fire, Bruce Springsteen. Tell me now, baby.
On down into that man's
okay.
town.
Okay, all right. Come on now.
Right on. Be enough. Be ball by you.
Where, Seton, were you nervous to do your impersonation of Al Michaels to Al Michaels?
I was terrified.
Were yeah. you? Okay.
Absolutely.
Because I didn't tell Seton that I was going to say, hey, you do your impersonation of Al Michaels. It was just we had Al on, and then Seton's been doing his impersonation of Al. Basically, it's whenever Lamar Jackson is on Sunday Night Football.
There he goes!
Paulie did Andrew Luck to Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
That was fabulous.
Ah.
Yes, Paulie.
I was a little sweaty because I wasn't sure how great a sense of humor he
yeah,
had.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Fritzy did it in front of Shannon Sharpe in studio. You just had Andrew Luck over the phone.
Ah, oh, flip phone. Flip phone, wire to wire.
Oh. Have we? Yes, Tom.
And then Al put Seton on the spot yesterday, and superbly, he came through with Collinsworth and Romo impersonations with no heads up that he was going to be put on the spot like that.
I know it has to get into Al's head that he's like, oh, wow, because nobody does the Al Michaels impersonation unless you do you believe in miracles? Yes!
But that makes me feel terrible. That makes me feel that Al Michaels was like, oh, man, if that's what I sound like, I better change. I'm like, oh,
I know.
Man, this I love Mr. Michaels.
Yeah, he didn't exactly embrace it. There was that, oh, wow, I sound like that? All right, we have an against the grain. McLovin has five. Now, are they good reasons or great reasons to watch tonight's game?
I'm leaning great.
Great? Okay. Let's hit the music. Against the grain with McLovin.
And by great, I mean awful. But these are reasons to watch tonight's Panthers-Texans game. Let's start with Texans quarterback Davis Mills. I don't think America knows a lot about this
No,
man.
They do not.
He played 13 games in college at Stanford.
He's 18 he's touchdowns. A seasoned veteran.
Yeah, threw 18 touchdowns at Stanford. But it turns out he was the number one recruit in his class over Tua Tagovailoa and Jake Fromm. He was the only five-star quarterback Stanford's really ever had, except for Elway.
Okay.
He's one of only a handful of starting quarterbacks that has a first name that is really a last name. Let me tell you some of the other ones.
Now, Elway, but also Andrew Luck at Stanford.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Okay. I didn't research that part.
Okay.
So he has two last names. Care to guess any of those? Jacoby Brissett, that's a last name for a first name.
Okay.
Taylor Heineke, Taylor, nobody's named Taylor.
Okay.
Davis Mills. And you could go Russell Wilson, because a lot of people name Russell. So that's another reason to watch. The Houston Texans have three 1,000-yard running backs, guys who've had 1,000 yards in their career.
Total.
No.
Oh, okay.
In a season. They have David Johnson, yeah. former Cardinal, Philip Lindsay, former Bronco, and Mark Ingram all hit 1,000.
Wow.
There are only 14 teams since 2000 who've had three 1,000-yard backs in their backfield. There's another one in the NFL right now. If anyone can guess it, I will buy them lunch. A team that has three guys who've hit 1,000 yards in their career.
In a season?
In a season. Yeah, not total, exactly.
Am I including everybody on the Ravens roster?
Let's move on to the next question.
Are you buying me lunch?
Yeah, what do you want? It's Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, and Lamar Jackson. All right. Darn it. Oh, man. And then last year, okay, I'll buy two lunches. If you get, there was one team last year that also
you
had.
You promised not to do against the grain if I get this right.
But this, he also had Devontae Freeman on the roster last year and had three 1,000-yard backs. If you could name all three of those backs and the team, I'm buying you dinner as well.
Wait. Who? Give me the question again.
Okay. Last year, there was only one team that had three backs who had hit 1,000 yards in a season. On their roster.
Okay.
This team also had Devontae Freeman. I'll give you one just to give you some help. They had two other running backs who had 1,000 yards in the career. If you can name the team and the players.
Okay.
There's no way you're getting. You have to remember where Freeman was last year. I don't think he took more than a handful of snaps.
At Cleveland?
No, he was a giant last year. Along with Saquon Barkley. And this is what Alfred Morris, I guess, was on the team.
So, oh, my God.
Okay, so I don't even remember where I'm at in my reasons. Okay, the Panthers tonight, you want to watch Brandon Zylstra, their tight end. He is a former Edmonton Elk. He caught a touchdown last week, and he's the only player who actually can catch a touchdown, and then they cut to the ads for the pharmaceutical drug Zylstra, which fights psoriasis, has severe side effects, including organ failure. So Brandon Zylstra, and I actually only came up with four. And then I got so sidetracked by that thought. So that's why you got to tune in tonight for the game. What do you want for lunch? It's
five,
on me.
Five great reasons, but only four reasons revealed. Against the Grain brought to you by Panini. Panini, when it comes to autographed cards, memorabilia, rare inserts, rookie cards, there's something for everyone in a Panini America pack. Start or continue your collection today at PaniniAmerica.net. Man, was that smooth by me. We'll take a break. We'll head to Sheboygan, or at least on the outskirts of the Ryder Cup. Your phone calls, we'll get to those as well. 17 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matching all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing, even more amazing, because 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover, which means when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I'd like to thank our Fox Sports affiliate in Miami. That's Fox Sports 940, picking up all 3 hours of this program. And part of the lineup that includes almost 400 cities around America that take this broadcast. Brandel Chamblee, Golf Channel, lead studio analyst, NBC Sports, providing comprehensive coverage of the Ryder Cup from Whistling Straits. You'll see it on NBC, Golf Channel, Peacock, and it starts Friday morning at 8 Eastern on Golf Channel. Brandel, Justin Leonard, Rich Lerner recap the action, in-depth analysis live from the Ryder Cup on Golf Channel. Brandel, great to talk to you. Set the scene. What's the weather going to be like at Whistling Straits?
Well, it's going to be windy, probably a little bit chilly. I think it's supposed to warm up a little bit tomorrow, but the weather that the players have been practicing in is going to switch. You know, the winds are going to come out of a different direction, but it's going to be brutal, hard golf course, hard against Lake Michigan. And, you know, it's going to look like an open championship.
When it comes to trying to assess both of these teams, we used to always look at the Europeans and say they got along with each other, like they were friends with each other. They would room with each other, and that camaraderie would play out in the Ryder Cup. Is that still the case with the European team and the United States team?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment of things. I mean, it's hard. It's the hardest puzzle to put together why the Europeans continue to dominate, because almost every single year they're a pretty big underdog coming in here in every facet. But I think by and large, the difference is it's not like it doesn't mean anything to the U.S. It does. It means a lot to them. You hear them. You see them when they win. You see them when they lose. You can tell it means a lot to them. But as some Europeans have described it to me, it's life and death for the Europeans. It means that much to them. And yet they find this perfect harmony between the intensity and the levity that you need to play your best golf, whereas the United States – they play tight and they just don't play their best golf. There's several reasons why I think they haven't been able to, by and large, beat Europe, but that's one small part of it.
Justin Leonard last night on the broadcast said that when you play on your home turf, it's like 1.5 or 2 points, that's the home course advantage there. And he talked about how you have to win. If Shane Lowry wins that first match tomorrow morning, then you've cut that lead in half. Do you agree with that assessment?
If you go back in the world ranking era, the home field, home course, home country advantage is a 1.5 point advantage. But, you know, momentum comes and goes in this. It is very ephemeral. The U.S. hasn't lost an opening session since 2006, and yet they continue to struggle. By and large, I think that, you know, the captain needs to impress upon the players on the U.S. side that they need to play with the same intensity that they would if they were 10-6 down in singles, try to recapture what they that intensity that they had going into the in the singles going all the way back to 1999. I think they have gotten up, and I think they've relaxed a little bit because on paper they're meant to dominate, and they get a little bit of a lead, and Europe has been able to flip it more times than not.
What if we traded Bryson DeChambeau to the European team? I mean, he sounds French, so wouldn't that be a better, like, we're trying to create drama, tension, good TV. Could we trade DeChambeau to the European team, and who would we get in return?
That's a great question. Listen, I don't think we'd want to trade him. I think he's pretty darn fun.
No, we have to do this.
Oh, we have to trade him. Who could we get? Well, if we could trade Bryson DeChambeau for Victor Hovland, I think that'd be a heck of a trade. You'd trade the longest driver for maybe the straightest hitter here. Victor Hovland is a guy, I believe, all 12 players on the European side were asked who they would like to pair with. All 12, or excuse me, 11 of them, all said Victor Hovland. So he's that popular. Bryson DeChambeau's he's an odd guy. I'm not sure many people would want to play with him. Who plays golf like him? You're going to end up in spots you've never been in. So I think that'd be a pretty good trade for the U.S.
Okay, but you bring up the great point. I guess Brooks and Bryson are playing nice. Is that good for the tour? Is that only good for this weekend?
Well, I've said this. You know, you go back to the beginning of the Ryder Cup. Every single European U.S. team would have had two players on that team, at least two players on that team that didn't like each other. This derision on the team between two players is nothing new. Social media is around, so we know more about it. A little friction on a team is a good thing. And any group dynamic setting, a little friction's good. You know, it lights things up, get a little spark. I don't think that's going to be the problem here. And to whatever extent, I think they could come together for the week. They have. They've bridged that gap. It's not like they're mortal enemies. It's not like one or the other stole the other's wife or girlfriend here. It's like one of them plays golf and makes it look as difficult as tax codes, and the other one makes it look as simple as snow falling off a log. They're just two different people.
Team golf versus individual golf. In how you pair, like that, we talk about chemistry a lot in sports, but you know, trying to piece it all together. It's like jigsaw puzzles and the pieces you put together. How delicate is that?
Well, I think you can overthink it. Like, for example, Seve, Jose Maria Aldazabal, the most successful team ever. I don't think you would have ever put those two together in foursomes. They're both, they drove it all over the map, both of them. Neither of them would be a good foursomes team. And you put them together and you think, well, they're going to be a horrendous foursomes team. And they were almost unbeatable. I think the one thing that Europe has done is they either pair like for like. In other words, long hitters with long hitters or straight hitters with straight hitters. Players that even struggle around the green with other players that even struggle around the green. Or players from the same country or friends. They don't necessarily rely on metrics to say, well, this guy hits it straight and this guy putts great. And you put those two together and it's going to work out. That almost never works out. Like, for example, you know, Fleetwood Molinari came about likely because those two guys were in the Bahamas having a couple of pops. They got a little liquored up. They called Bjorn and said, hey, we want to play together. Put us together. There's no metric there. You put them together. They're like, they went out there and they just boat raced everybody. And it's like, hey, you know, why not put together guys and just laugh and have a good time together?
Randall Chambly, Golf Channel, the Ryder Cup. You can see it starting tomorrow morning, 8 Eastern on Golf Channel. Are there side bets during the Ryder Cup with, like, USA versus European players?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I mean, I'm sure going back in the days of yore, maybe. But I doubt it.
Wait, with Phil Mickelson, he didn't have any side action?
Phil maybe is the exception. Phil might have some side action right now. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, I think they get a lot of literature. A lot of emails about let's not do that. That's not good for the game. So it would be certainly on the hush hush if they do.
Steve Stricker gave an update on Tiger Woods. What was your reaction to that update?
This is the first I'm hearing of it. When did that happen?
I thought he was at the press conference, just talked about Tiger's health and, you know, the road to recovery and things are promising.
Well, I certainly did hear the specifics of that. Maybe I was sitting on the set getting ready to go and I had chaos in my ear. I was under the impression that Tiger was going to make some sort of impression before the week was out via Zoom, some sort of conference call. We've seen a little bit of Tiger Woods here and there, but I haven't really heard any sort of predictions about him coming back or even the state of his injury and how it's healed up. I mean, we've seen a little bit of him, but not much. Which, you know, the fact that we haven't heard much, I don't know how to take that, really.
I'm guessing his relationship with Stricker, that Tiger would probably Zoom in tonight to talk to the team. That's just a guess.
Yeah, I could see that, and that'd be good. I mean, you know, the game misses Tiger. He's stuck on 82 wins, tied with Sam Snead. You know, does Tiger Woods have another miraculous comeback? And he's already given us. You can add them up. It's three or four, depending upon how you count 2008 U.S. Open. But he's remade himself. I've lost count. So maybe he's got one more in him. It'd be great for golf. And who knows? Maybe his presence will be just the spark that this team needs.
If I said you could have a putt to win the PGA Championship or a putt to win the Ryder Cup, four-foot putt, you're standing over the putt. You win a major, you win the Ryder Cup.
Well, I think a U.S. player would say the PGA Championship. A European player would say, well, I think you'd be 50-50, but a number of European players would say the Ryder Cup. We had Colin Montgomery on our set once. I remember it pretty darn clear. It was the U.S. Open 2013 Marion. It was up on our set. It was Navalo up there as well with me. And I asked Colin if you could trade all of your Ryder Cup experiences for one major championship. Would you do it? And he was like, not a chance, yeah. Not a chance, not a million years would I do that. The next day, as I was sitting on the set, and I'm not going to say who this person is, but a prominent person in professional golf came up on our set, veins were popping, pointing, saying the next time somebody says something that poppycock like that on that set, you got to call them out. It's like, what are you talking about? And they said, the idea that somebody would trade wouldn't trade their Ryder Cup experience for a major championship is preposterous. And I thought, well, that is the difference between Europeans and Americans. Europeans, it is life or death for them. I had a European say it to me yesterday. It's not that it doesn't matter to the U.S. It does. It's just life or death for the Europeans is how they've described it.
Yeah, but I understand that with Monty. Absolutely. From the European side of this, they enjoy this more. It means more to them than it does the United States. It just does. And I think because of that, yeah, the U.S. players would want to win a major where this is we want a major. That's the feeling that you would get with the Ryder Cup.
Right. I mean, loads of players have won major championships. How many have done what Ian Poulter's done in the Ryder Cup? Ian Poulter... he's won, what, three times, I think, in the United States or on the PGA Tour. He's won a fair bit. And in Europe, he's underrated, I would say, in that regard. But when you look at what he's done in the Ryder Cup, he's a legend.
Yeah.
Sam Torrance never won a major championship. He's a legend. Colin Montgomery, he's a legend. No doubt Colin Montgomery got into the Hall of Fame because largely what he meant and did in the Ryder Cup, he could have not done any of that, won one major championship and not been in the Hall of Fame. So, yes, it does mean, and Jack Nicklaus, I think, has summed this up pretty well. So has Tiger Woods. Look, you know, by and large, you know, the better players on the U.S. side are such colossally good players with unbelievable records that there is no career prestige to be gained from them winning a series of Ryder Cups or making the winning putt. It doesn't really matter in how they're viewed as players, whereas lesser careers, they look at a Ryder Cup as a chance to enhance their legacy and a reputation. And it's worked beautifully for notably more Europeans.
Great to talk to you. Keep stirring it up. Have fun this weekend. We'll be watching. Thank you, Randall.
Thanks, Dan. Always a pleasure.
That's Randall Chamblee. He sounds European, you know, maybe. Could have played for the European. Maybe like a little French, Chamblee. I'm sorry, what kind of Chambly is that you're drinking? Golf Channel, Peacock, NBC, live coverage begins tomorrow at 8 Eastern on Golf Channel. And then Golf Channel wrap things up. Justin Leonard, Rich Lerner, and Brandel live from the Ryder Cup. I played it, I don't know how many years ago. This is first time Whistling Straits hosted a major. And I went there and played with Steve Spurrier, Bob Stoops, and Brian Urlacher. And we had a beautiful day, a sunny day, but it was still windy. And you're going to get that certainly this time of the year, and whether it be in the 50s or 60s, it'll feel like you're playing in Europe on a like a July. You know, you can play over there in July, and you're like, damn, it's cold. Not many places in the United States that you're going to go play golf at this time of the year are going, this is cold. A couple of phone calls. Let's see. How about Will in Dayton? Hey, Will, what's on your mind today?
Mr. Patrick, this is awesome. Appreciate it.
What's on your mind, Will?
I got a Dan Patrick Show theme tribute limerick. But first, from listening over the years, I guess it's customary to invite you and the boys to town. Hit up Brown Street, you know, Shed, maybe catch some Guided by Voices. So let me know if you've heard this one before.
Okay.
Bedridden for months brought on frowns. Boredom led me to DP and his clowns. Dad came to UD from the land with stories of glory in hand, and that's how I inherited my cursed Browns.
All right. Well, thank you, Will. That's Will from Dayton with a limerick. I like that. Anthony in Texas. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to the program. What can I do for you?
Hey, Dan. It's 510, 210.
Okay.
Hey, I was calling because today's actually my 30th birthday, and I was hoping I'd get a few shout-outs and see if anybody wanted to do a pie to the face for Texans AFC South champions.
Oh, my God. Okay. Does anybody want to take Anthony? Anthony, turn down your radio. Anybody want to take Anthony up on he thinks the Texans are going to win the AFC South. I thought he was going to say, do you think the Texans are going to win tonight? Does anybody want a piece of this bet with Anthony? It's kind of a mercy kill here.
Yeah, and then can I get those shout-outs? I just wanted to shout out my fiance Ashley, and my kiddos, Austin, Isabella, and Cassidy. Sorry. You know, I'm out of China.
happy birthday to all involved there. Got the Texans winning the AFC South. I'm going to take the field there.
Somebody has to.
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna take the AFC South there with Will. Or was that Will? What, Anthony? I forgot his name. Happy birthday, though. And to your kiddos there as well. Jesse in Los Angeles. Hi, Jess. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I would take friend of the show, John Rahm, for Bryson DeChambeau in a Ryder Cup trade. That'd be great. But the real reason I'm calling is because earlier on the show, you guys were playing clips because it's Tom Brady's debut anniversary.
Yeah.
So I got a good debate for the show. In 1992, another hot athlete made his debut professionally, and that was none other than Mr. David Beckham from Manchester United. Sizzling. So who do you guys got between Beck and Brady? Hot guy draft on today's professional debutant.
All right. Well, thank you, Jesse. Are we taking career or career hotness?
Wow. Dang, Beckham, Brady, that is...
Well, I'm going to ask you, Seton, because you love yourself some Tom Brady.
I do, although for many years, David Beckham has very much been my haircut guy. So I've got a longer history.
Did you bring a picture of David Beckham into the barber?
I have never done that, okay. But I've often been like, well, that dude's got strong hair.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I might go, I'll go Bex over TB12.
In career hotness?
Career hotness, sure.
Yeah. I don't know, Brady's getting younger. He is. It's something about that pliability. Yes, well.
But Brady from like age 18 to 25 was just kind of a meat and potatoes.
He was kind of doughy.
Yeah, he was meat and potatoes. He's good looking.
Draft beer.
Yeah. Beckham's gone wire to wire.
Yeah, he's still just smoldering.
Yeah. Can't look directly at him. Hurt your retinas.
The guy could still bleach his hair and look good, and he's like four, you know, in his 40s or something.
Mm. He looked good after a car accident. He's,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
McLovin.
You throw in that accent, it's hard to compete with an accent.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Dude's just jet setting all over the world, buying teams, doing whatever he wants. Man. Probably has a chateau or two.
Chateau.
Guy's killing it. Killing it.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Here's something you're going to hear tonight. Now, I can't say, boy, you got to tune in to watch this, but you're going to hear this tonight. It's not exciting, but it does help win football games. Carolina's front four, the pressure that they put on, what they did to the Saints, it's very impressive. Now, once again, you're not going to tune in for that. Honey, gather around. Let's watch Carolina and their defensive front. It's a good defense. I don't know if it's going to be consistently a good defense, but it is. If it is, then Carolina has a chance to have a successful season. And by that, maybe they win nine games. Maybe. But the defense has looked impressive and did so against the New Orleans Saints. That's why Jameis Winston did not have a good game. It was basically that defense up front. Tom Brady's personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, had some thoughts about Bill Belichick. He said that Bill never really evolved. I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. This is Guerrero talking to the Boston Herald yesterday. As Tom got into his late 30s, early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that's such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in their 40s like they're in their 20s. It doesn't work. Yeah, Paul.
It feels like now that Tom Brady has won a Super Bowl in Tampa, it's open season. Tom Brady's dad is doing radio shows, the doctor, his grade school football coach will be talking. It's like the game is over.
Well, for all those years, Tom didn't say anything, couldn't say anything. Nobody else around him said anything. You would hear whispers somebody close to Tom would say. I mean, that's all I ever heard. You never heard it from Tom. Now, you're outside looking in, and it feels like it's safe. Is it safe? Yeah. Are you sure it's safe? Yeah, yeah, go ahead. You can say what you want. All right. That's the feeling I get now. Richard in Los Angeles. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys, good morning. So I'm a huge Bucks fan. I live in L.A. And here's a little bit of trivia because there's a game coming up this weekend. There was a team called the Los Angeles Buccaneers back in 1925-26. The interesting stat there is that they never played a game in L.A. They were a traveling football team, and that's what they were called. But there was a Los Angeles Buccaneers at one time.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Richard. Oh, I think he might have had another comment there.
Sorry, Richard.
Yeah. Sonny in California. Hi, Sonny.
Oh, my God. I'm on. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for taking my call.
How are you, Sonny?
Well, guess what? It's my first time calling in. I am 5'2", 143, but working on going to 115.
Okay.
I always listen to you guys on my commute to work, so I can never call in. But the reason why I'm able to call in is because it took me breast cancer to be able to do this. I'm recovering right now at home and watching you guys on Peacock.
Oh, well, I'm glad to have you. Not under these circumstances, certainly, but it's great to have you be part of the program in whatever way you can, Sonny, and I hope you're doing well.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Is it too late to weigh in on the poll question today?
You know, it's your day. Whatever you want to do.
All right. I would rather be Joe Flacco, even though Devin Hester has more skills. But because he had the privilege of putting on a Broncos uniform for a whole season.
Oh, okay.
I'm a huge Broncos fan.
Oh. Well, then you obviously like Todd Fritz.
I do. I like Fitzy, but I love all you guys.
Sonny, stay on hold. Yeah. I'm going to have Marvin get your information. We'll send you out some DP Show gear. And again, I hope you're doing. I hope you're doing well. And thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. Second back row.
Oh.
And Dan, one more thing. I'm hoping for Sunday Night Football when Al Michaels shouts out, "There he goes!" I can't wait for that.
There he goes.
There he goes.
Thank you, Sonny. Suck it back row. Yeah,
sometimes people say that and think it's a thing of affection. I'm serious. They're like, "Oh, I want to shout out the back row. Suck it back row." Like,
do you think that was?
Oh, definitely. She's a Fritzy fan.
Okay.
Yeah, Sonny, are you
kidding me? She could have said "suck it back row" and meant it for you, but she just included the back row.
No, Sonny doesn't have a negative thought about anybody.
All this time we thought that Todd was bringing Andrew down. It's actually the other way around. Wow.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
They're not that good, so I went this day in music history. Buddy Holly had the number one hit on the U.S. singles chart with "That'll Be the Day." Mm-hmm. A newspaper in northern Illinois reported in 1969 that Paul McCartney had been killed in a car crash, and it was picked up by the AP Wire and went around the country. Paul McCartney had to call a reporter to his home, his farm in England, to say he was alive. And then 1989, Milli Vanilli had back-to-back number one hits, and one of the few times in America history, Billboard charts, back-to-back number one hits.
And the whole Milli Vanilli, you know, what happened was across the street from ESPN, Lake Compounds, they taped skipped while they were doing their concert. And that amusement park right across the street from ESPN. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. I'm going to start back left with Todd. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Pat Forty says the short list of reasons the College Football Playoff Committee delayed voting on expanding the number of teams: pettiness, jealousy, rivalry, distrust, short-sightedness.
Yeah, they don't want ESPN and the SEC to be the benefactors of this, believe it or not. McLovin.
Brandel Chambly says the Ryder Cup is life or death to the Europeans.
And Seton O'Connor.
College football is run by petty people?
Yeah, go figure. Huh. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Bryson DeChambeau's name sounds European.
Fritzy, what did I learn on today's program?
Pro Football Focus says Trevor Lawrence is leading the NFL in uncatchable pads. Did I make a weird noise? Uncatchable passes. Trevor Lawrence leads the NFL.
The first word you said. Hey, rocket scientists, look no further than the next big thinker, first-in-class technology, a leader in innovation and intelligence not yet seen from an SUV. The 2021 Mercedes-Benz GLE. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Talk to you tomorrow. Well, one more item as we close out the show. Played golf yesterday, and that meant Level Select CBD. You're going, what? Yeah. Prior to playing, and then after I play, I use the Level Select CBD, the roll-on there. And what you're going to get is instant relief. You know, you got sore muscles. As you get older, you got post-workout discomfort popping up in new spots all the time. And, you know, I swing sort of like Bryson DeChambeau, so, you know, I got to probably, you know, massage these muscles a little bit. Level Select CBD, formulated with doctors, high concentration of CBD. You feel it work immediately. And it's made with 0% THC. You apply the sports creams or the roll-ons directly to the sore spots and let that proprietary blend of CBD go to work. And it goes to work in about 30 seconds. Go to levelselectcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code DP30. That's $30 off your entire order today. $30 off levelselectcbd.com. Promo code DP30. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.